Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, it's time, in this day and time, that we need to be praising the Lord our God and thanking him for the things that we have and for living in a land that we can still worship him, even though our land is walking further and further away from it. We need to be praying for this land that it'll get back to where it was at one time, and our government's foundation back upon the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to use me, to speak through me, Father, so that they can understand this, thy holy word, in truth and in guidance, that they can receive knowledge, Father, and wisdom to grow thereby, and always looking to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. Now, Father, be with us throughout this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the book of Acts, or Romans, and we've come a long way since we started this way of going through the Bible. We've covered a lot of scripture, both in the Old Testament, in the four Gospels, and in the New Testament. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8. We just finished with 6 and 7 last evening. All right. Beginning here with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, you and I, we cannot live the ways of this world out here and also live the ways of the kingdom of Almighty God. Because the ways of this world is enmity to God. We can't walk with one foot in one place and the other foot in the other one. No, that will not work. Now in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And you know, as we came through 6 and 7, we found out your truth, that we are not to walk in sin. We're not to have anything to do with sin. And don't let no one tell you that just because you are still here in the flesh that you've just got to sin. No. That's against the word of Almighty God in many, many, many places. Not just one, but a lot of them. A lot of them we've already been through. Telling us that we can't live with sin in our lives and be a child of God. When you're born again, Holy Spirit will let you know that. Now, verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You see, he even gives us reasons why that we're not to sin and how we can actually walk without it. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, we're told to walk in the Spirit. And he's telling us here that we're not to walk after the things of the flesh. Once you become that born-again child of God, you are to live for him. And he is to be first and foremost in your life. You say, well, what about my family and all them? You are to love them, yes. You're to love them. You're to care for them. You're to pray for them. But you also are to have God first in your life. Then he will see that you have all that you need in order to care for them. A lot of times, we want to put things of the flesh before him. Well, we need this. We're out of this, and we need this. If you need it, he'll make a way for you to get it, if you really need it. A lot of things that we think we need, we find we don't need it because it's actually against the Lord himself. Now, 5, for they that are after the flesh, listen to this, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Well, you see, and those two are enemies. They are enemies. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You see, if you felt when I told you that just a second ago, that I was wrong, well, you see, there it is, in God's word. Now, for it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. Now, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When you're walking in darkness and you're not walking as a child of God, there's no way you can please God. 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, that change has to come. We've got to change our ways and come out of this worldly life and get in with the Lord Jesus Christ, be forgiven of our sins, and get that anointing and infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, he goes on here in 9, where he tells us that we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Think about that. We must be born again. And if you are born again, then you have that indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. That is what has sealed you as a child of God. We found that back in 1 John chapter 3. Now, pardon me. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. You see, you have to come to the point of turning your life over to him. And then he lives through you. And this body is dead to sin. The spirit now can control the body to keep it from doing the things that it shouldn't be doing. But without that spirit, you can't really control the body. That body will control you to fulfill what it wants. Now, that's where all of the sin comes from, see? It's that flesh, that sinful flesh that will tell you, I want this and I want that, you know, and cause us to commit all kinds of sin, adultery, fornication, lying, cheating, stealing. Now, verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwell in you. When you become that born-again child of God, you have the deity of the Godhead living inside you. It's there, just as it was in Jesus while he was here on this earth. Jesus came to us in the flesh. He walked upon this earth 30 years in the flesh without committing sin. Oh, yeah, but he was the Son of God. That's true. He was the Son of God, but he was still in the flesh. And he had not that infilling of the Holy Spirit until he was 30 years old. And then when he was baptized by John, the scripture tells us that's when he received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They saw it come to him like the form of a dove. And then that's when his ministry started. And you see, these are things that we need. We need that Holy Spirit of God. But to get that, we have to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ died and was resurrected, and that curtain in the temple was tore in two, that's when we had the ability through the Lord Jesus Christ to go straight and stand before the Heavenly Father and talk with Him. Before that, we couldn't do it. We had to go through priests, someone else to intercede for us. But you see, when Jesus became our intercessor, He made the way that we can go and talk to the Heavenly Father also. Now, 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. This death he's talking about is not this physical death that we see where we're going to be leaving this life. This is a separation from God. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And that life will carry on through to eternity. You see, when you are born again here on this earth, that life belongs to God. It don't belong to you any longer. It belongs to God for Him to use here on this earth as He will. That's why we ask Him to come in, because we are willing to be used. These are choices that we have to make in order to be able to make heaven our home and have eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God gave us free choice. But there's only two to make. There's no middle road. You're either going to choose to serve the Lord or to serve Satan. Now, because if you choose that middle road, you're still serving Satan. Because God will have no part of that. And He judges so. Now, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We're what? You hear me use us being born again children of God all the time. This is letting you know that we are the sons of God. That makes us His children. If so be that we are actually led by the Spirit of God and He dwells in us. Now, you know, when I first began this session of teaching, as I'm teaching you now, I didn't really understand why God wanted me to do this. But you know, as we've been doing this, one of the great things I have learned is I am listening also to some of the greatest ministers of the gospel given to mankind. Now, as we're going through this morning, you are actually hearing from the minister of Paul, the apostle, sent to the Gentile people. This is his preaching. This is why we are told to preach this gospel. We're not to change it. We're not to try to make it say what we want it to say, but to get it across as it has been preached and recorded. Now, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. 17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I'm a joint heir with Christ. Think about that for a moment. What glory, lays there, if so be that we suffer with him. You see, I'm not told that I don't have to suffer certain things at certain times, because Satan's going to come against me just like he did against the Lord Jesus Christ. He even took him up on the mountain to tempt him. Now, he don't have to take us up on the mountain here, not in this world. Now, that we may be also, we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. A lot of difference there, isn't there, than what we ordinarily think or believe. Now, 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That glory is to be revealed in us. How's it to be revealed? It's to be revealed by the way you live, by the way you talk, and by the way you share this word of God with others and reach out to others in love and care. That love of Almighty God and the care of God. To be there, to be a help unto a brother or a sister. Now, verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Now, you know, it said we were made subject to vanity, pride, selfishness, and it wasn't something we chose. It was by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. It came to you and I because of the fall of Adam. If Adam had not fell, then all of this wouldn't have been on mankind. But he did, and that brought it all on us also. But you see, when Jesus came into the world, he turned everything around for us so that we now no longer have to be that creature. We have become a new creation, as we found out in the 6th chapter of Romans. Now, 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. And we do that through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why and how we can do it. Now, 22, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Think about that a minute. That we groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Of our body. And we do groan. Because things come against us. All those things are going on, and that's not pleasant, and we do groan. But we can also have the joy inside, because we know we're not going through any of this by ourselves. The Lord himself and the Holy Spirit is there with us to give us the strength that we need and the guidance to get through whatever it is that has come against us. But our faith has to be strong and kept on God's word. We can't let it waver. As the scripture says, waver like the waves of the sea, tossed to and fro. No, we've got to stay steady on that word of Almighty God. Now, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You see, when that trouble and trial comes against us, we're in hope to get rid of it. But we have to turn all of that over to him. And when we do that, then we wait with patience until he gets rid of it. Now, sometimes he'll have you speak the word to get rid of it. But we wait for his guidance. in whatever it is. And then we go by his guidance and things work out. We don't get rid of it on our own because on our own we're not able to do it. And the word tells us that. Now, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. That is that heavenly language that is given to each one of us. It's called tongues. And it's called tongues in the scripture. You can go to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians and find out all about it, why it's given to you, and what it's given to you for. It's all there. Now, and when to use it. 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Think about that. He searches. He that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. What Spirit is that? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your intercession. We're told that time after time. And as we have been going through the four Gospels, we've already covered that twice, because we have covered it once in Matthew and we covered it once in Mark. We're past that now in Mark 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We're called really according to the purpose of Almighty God. The moment you become a born-again child of God, he has got your work lined out for you. He knows exactly what he wants of you to do. We have to find out sometimes what it is. 29. For whom he did know, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. You see, he knew before he even put you in the womb what you was going to do. It's not he's forcing you to do something. No. He just knows what you're going to do. Now, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. He's done it all for you. And has given us everything we need. Now, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, there's a lot that will come against us, but they don't have the power to be able to make anything work, because you have been given the authority and the power to stand in the name of Jesus against anything that will come against you. Now, it may take time for things to come about and happen, but it don't mean that it's not going to happen. When we look back in the Old Testament at the prophets, a lot of the prophecy that God gave to those prophets, they never did see. They never seen it at all. But it came about. We're told in the scripture when it came about, how it came about. Some of it, 430 years later, from the time the prophet was told about it, before it happened. But it happened, and happened just like God spoke it. Now, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He'll give us everything we need in order to make it through this life, to do the things he has of us to do, and to make it into heaven, to be and spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of things to look forward to. As you study in God's Word and you get the knowledge of what is in the future for us, it can really be exciting. Those that belong to God right now will eventually go to heaven, be with Christ, and when Christ comes back for his second time here on this earth to set up his kingdom for that 1,000 years, he's going to be bringing us back with him. And we're going to spend that 1,000 years again here on this earth. King Jesus will be the ruler. And as the scripture says, he'll rule with a rod of iron. Think about it. Another 1,000 years here on this earth. And then we'll go on to be in that new city and live with him there, him and God. Think about it. Gets to be exciting when we really see and understand some of the things. We don't know everything that's laying ahead because the Word don't tell us all. But it does tell us a lot of it. And that is exciting. Now, 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. We belong to him. He is the one that justifies. Doesn't matter what anyone else says. They can talk about you from now on. Don't pay no attention about it. Pray for them. Pray that they change, that they find the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. and that they can make heaven their home. They can't hurt us. 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He is the one that intercedes, that made the way for you and I to become living child of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Name a lot of things there, isn't it? That is written. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But see, none of these things. Now, 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can conquer all of those things because of the Lord Jesus Christ that is within us and has gave us the authority to stand in his name. And we have that power because we have the Holy Spirit of Almighty God also within. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Once you have become that born-again child of God, you have seen all of these things named that will not be able to separate you from that love of God. Because it says, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is our everything. He is our salvation. He is our forgiveness. He is our healer. He's our intercessor. He's the one that keeps us. He and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Everything goes through him. Think about it. I pray that you have got something out of this message this morning. This was Paul's message. And I pray that you've got something out of it this morning that will help you to stand stronger and help you to walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And that you will be able to get out here and do more work for the Lord Jesus Christ and for Almighty God to share this gospel with others. That's something that mankind has chosen today that he really doesn't want to do. He acts like he is ashamed of the Word of God. He doesn't want to share it. I know I've been through all of this. I've been through it all. I'm just letting you know. I'm like Paul. I've been through it all. I was not a good man. Through my years up until I was 30 years old, you wouldn't have even wanted to have known that. Yet there was some things even then I wouldn't do, but still, it wasn't because even of God or righteousness or nothing. It was because I was afraid that I'd get caught at doing some things and end up in jail. And I'd been there a time or two. Got caught out riding down the highway with an open can of beer, sitting in the console, went to jail for it. But you see, when God gets a hold of you, that Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, your life changes because your life becomes not yours, but God's. And for Him to do, are you really willing for Him to do whatsoever He wants to do with it? That's the point you have to reach in this life if you're going to make heaven your home. And the further we get into His Word, the more you're going to see of it. And the more you're going to hear about it. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close Your Word, we are thankful for Your Word, Father. We praise You for it. And we thank You and praise You, Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. For Jesus, our Savior, our healer, our intercessor, and the Holy Spirit that has brought us Your power, Your anointing, Your authority, that brings us knowledge and wisdom and guides us in how You want us to use it. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Praise Your holy name. And Father, we pray for this land of ours. We pray that one day it's going to wake up and that our government will be in the hands of the right one. It will work with us. Help us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being Your Word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that Jesus will be into all the places He's been taken out of. Father, for those out there that are sick, disease, we pray for their healing. We give You thanks for that healing, Father. We know that they are those listening to stand in need. But if they will just look to Jesus, they'll find the way. Because it's by His stripes they are healed. I'm praying for their acceptance of that and that they'll stand on faith. They may not feel that healing right that moment, but if they'll stand on it, they'll see it come about. Father, help us all through the remainder of this day. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And bring us all together again at 6 p.m. and back into Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, all. God bless.